It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up. Everything is fucked. Everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off. No human contact. And if you interact, your life is on contract. Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days.
Awesome, dude. You did it justice, man.
Born in the 80s, raised in the 90s. I was all about Limp Bizkit in my formative music years.
We're a decade apart, so. Man. Born in the 70s, raised in the 80s. Loved the 90s. Can't stand today.
Well, right on the same page.
Where again. Is Limp Bizkit today?
They're a nostalgia band now. They're just playing the old stuff.
Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's kind of hard to see Axl Rose.
Well, they didn't have any high voice or anything like that, right? So, it's pretty...
But it's
pretty simple music.
But it was music then. It was still classified as music.
Limp Bizkit, I don't know if it was ever classified as music, to be honest. Like,
no, I would listen to it. I have tracks from it. But compared to what today is, like, it's hard for me to find today. Music today.
Oh, man.
That's my point. That's all I bring up.
I'm a music guy for sure. Yeah. And somewhere around the early 2000s,
something
it got difficult to find music again.
I don't know what it is. It's a package deal these days, man. But we're not talking about music. We're going to talk about flooring today.
Fair enough.
So welcome to the show, Scott. Appreciate you coming in, driving in a little bit to come in on the studio, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It was actually a pretty decent drive. I'm not used to that good of a drive down to the GTA.
So. Were you questioning what was going on? Like something going on? Like, UFOs up in the air or something? I don't know.
No, I was just making sure I didn't hit guy beside me. So
that's all it was, right? Let me share the information here. Scott Enright's here from Wall to Wall Flooring. You can find him on IG under wall_2_wall_flooring. His email is contact@walltowallflooring.ca. His website is www.walltowallflooring.ca. His phone number is 705-791-9306. I'm wearing Tim's tee today, RVC, Ravine View Construction. Guy's busy. I'm glad that he's busy. Some guys are starting to pick up now, which is a good thing, which is great. And I don't know if it has anything to do with the bank rates. You know,
that was my guess. We slowed down a lot. I'm a one-man show, but slowed down a lot last summer. It was a welcome slowdown. It was like my first slowdown since COVID started. So
you're doing all the work yourself. You don't have any crew or anybody working with you.
I had a guy. He was with me for a couple of years. Good guy. But he was supposed to be, I was supposed to be training him as installer, and it came pretty obvious that he was just going to be a laborer.
He didn't want the responsibility.
It got a little bit slow, and I just had a laborer to keep busy. So he was mowing my grass and stuff like that to keep him with a paycheck. And he didn't like that. He complained. So I was like, man, I'm just trying to keep you, you know, I don't have the hours.
Yeah.
Just trying
to. Which is justifiable.
Yeah. Well, I'll do my best. But anyway.
Much younger guy?
Yeah. It's early 20s.
Where do you end up going? Do you know?
Mechanic. I think that fits him a little bit better. He's more into cars and all that stuff. And he was a great laborer. He was a great laborer. But he wanted to be more.
Yeah.
He just didn't have what it took. Anytime I let him on his own or whatever, it was a nightmare. So
I always excuse me, I always like having flooring guys on the show because I like talking flooring, right? Yeah. I don't understand how clients for the most part always are trend driven when it comes to floors and not functional driven when it comes to floors.
Yeah.
And then it was recently, I think it was this week, that I shared a resanding of a floor, I think in a UK property, where it had all the details and everything like that. It was old floor. And I was talking with John from Historical Buildings. And I was like, I missed that, man. I kind of missed those types of floors. And nowadays, and I ended the conversation just by saying, everybody just wants white plank, white oak. That's all they want.
At least it's not gray.
It used to be for a little period of time.
I know. I was so tired of doing gray. I
remember, what was it, like 2010, 2011? It was all just grayish. Like, I didn't understand that crap.
It was just a ton of gray, and I'm just glad that, you know, the natural colors are back. I'm actually happy to see them over the grays.
But I mean, white oak's never going to disappear for flooring?
I don't think so. Why would it?
Nobody can afford the walnut versions, I guess.
I've got them if they want them, but yeah, they don't tend to, once they see the sticker price, it's a little higher. So
yeah, but we got walnut in our own backyard. But I guess it's not being, is it made here?
No, nothing's made here. Well, not nothing's made here. I do have one supplier, Breezewood. It's made right here. But
harvested and milled.
Harvested, milled, everything within like 200 kilometers of Tillsonburg.
Expensive?
Fucking pricey.
It's expensive, man. And it's in our own backyard.
Yeah.
Why is it expensive? Good quality, though? I don't care about the price.
Good 100% quality? Good quality. Best quality I have to offer is that product. But it does come at that, you know, three times the price of my lower end stuff. Not lower end. I don't like to say lower end because I don't sell anything that's crap, but the less expensive stuff.
So anybody doing solid anymore? Nobody's doing solid anymore.
Like maybe 5% of my year is solid.
What kind of client asks for solid?
People that want to resand later.
Yeah, but you're not, if you have, for
like you're not, I know you're not going to resand anyway.
2 decades, right? Exactly. If that.
And if you get a 3 mil, 4 mil veneer, you can sand that again.
Yeah.
Because you can only sand down to that, to the nails anyway. So if you got a 4 mil wear layer, you're down to the nails. You're down the same as you would solid hardwood. So.
Yeah, it's true. So if you go with like a 19 mil 3/4,
yeah,
solid TNG, your nail cleat or whatever staple.
Yeah.
You only get like at the maybe 6 mil at the max, right?
I don't even get that with the head nail? I don't think you get that.
Well, that starts to get dangerous, right?
Yeah. So I tell people if you want, you know, if you don't, our climate doesn't handle solid hardwood all that great.
It doesn't.
Especially if there's a lot of stuff by the water where I am, like Muskoka.
Well, I'd also say it's not so much the climate as much as it's also how the house was built.
Right.
So if the house wasn't framed correctly, if it wasn't climatized correctly, and it wasn't insulated properly, and it's not completely sealed building envelope-wise, then you're going to be in a world of hurt if you go solid.
I'm going to bring you back to acclimated properly, because
that's what I mean.
There's a whole fucking problem with acclimation.
Nobody wants, Susie gets on site, let's start installing it.
Well, you can't acclimate it because they won't turn on your goddamn furnace until it's all in. And it's like, how am I supposed to acclimate this product when I can't? It has to be installed. So I tell the builders, I'm like, it's supposed to wait. They're like, they tell me the same thing. You know, we can't turn on the furnace until all the dust is gone. I'm like,
you know who I blame in that situation? I blame the HVAC guys.
Yeah.
Because the HVAC guys will tell the clients or the builder, if you turn this furnace on, you're going to damage this furnace, and the cost of that furnace outweighs them turning it on to get you guys prepared to start installing.
Right. Even worse, they'll say that there's just no warranty. They're like, if we know that this was turned on beforehand, there's no warranty.
So on the furnace?
On the furnace.
Because I know, but that's when you start changing the filters on a weekly, if not daily basis.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's all it means, right?
And I cut outside anyway. Like, it's... I guess it's not just me though. Trim guys go in after me.
It's the same problem.
Yeah.
I climatize the whole trim package as well too. And I don't do it like, okay, what's the industry standard? Like how many hours, i.e. days, are you supposed to, like
solid wood a week, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Engineered hardwood, 24, 48 hours.
I always go 72.
Yeah.
I haven't done solid in forever. So I always go 72.
Yeah.
And then also, is there a difference if you don't crack open the boxes?
They say there are, but there's all these little ticky-tacky things that the flooring industry wants you to do, and it's like they know you're not going to do them because if you crack that box open, you can't take it back. So how much of it is real? How much of it is just, you know?
Yeah, but when it comes to flooring, you want to make sure you have enough, so you better buy enough.
Yeah.
Because realistically, when you do get to doing it or you place the order and it gets on site, that product might be discontinued, and then you don't have enough.
It's a big problem too.
It's a major problem.
Or if it's not discontinued, let's say it's a laminate or vinyl, and it's not discontinued, they'll change the locking mechanism just so much that you can't.
Why would they
fucking work it anymore? I don't want to say brand names or not, but there's one brand name that one box and the other box are two different kind of colors. Like there's just a tone difference. And I can spot it, and I could be like, hey, those two aren't going to work together. I don't want to even say the colors, because I don't want to like...
No, that's fine.
...lose people.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I've gone to the stores, and I've been like, listen, if you're going to sell this brand, make sure that the boxes that come in, they're all this one color. Like, look at this label. It's all that one color. Because there's like a height difference. It's the same thickness, but...
How much of a difference are we talking about? Like a mil or two?
Enough that it doesn't click in.
Really?
Yeah. It wouldn't even be a mill.
Is it because it was manufactured elsewhere in the globe?
I almost think that it was manufactured upside down because the one layer was put on the bottom but it still doesn't matter, right? But
yeah,
the thickness of the above the click is more on the one and it's more on the bottom
that's
than the other. It's so hard to explain.
Machine thing or something. Someone made a decision to consciously do that.
Yeah.
Well, why? Like, now you're pissing off the industry.
It pissed me off.
piss the customer off, pisses the general contractor that purchases the product off, pisses the store off, because everybody's got it now. You know, you're lugging 100 boxes into the basement. You're taking half of them out now to, you know, do you have, I'm going to make up colors. Do you have yellow labels or green labels here on the, you know, on your stock? So what half of am I taking back now? What half have I opened? Like, it's...
And like, we're talking about margins here, right? So it's not like tradespeople are making boatloads of money. This isn't like we're just making it rain or something like that. So when something like that happens, it starts to really affect the profit margin, right?
Yeah, because I can do 1,000 square feet a day on this particular project that I'm thinking about. That was a day job, just over 1,000 square feet. It was going to be a long day.
Yeah.
But all the doors were off, so that saves me a lot of time.
Yeah.
Ended up that I had to leave, you know, 300 square feet undone because there's 300 square feet of boxes that I couldn't use. There's no transitions. We don't do transitions anywhere. That could have been a way that, around it, but fucking why? Like,
it's nobody not uses our, not that. Our I don't like those.
Yeah, no, they don't. Because top down, they look the same. Like, they are the same floor, but they don't just don't click together. So I don't know why they...
And the manufacturer's reason for this, they never gave you one?
I never got it. I don't think I ever went that far because it wasn't my project. I was working for a GC. And he had purchased, I think, directly from them or from a store even. So it might have been two other layers on top of that. So
basically right now, white oak is still the leader, right? Everybody's choosing white oak.
Yeah.
What's the width of the plank that they're going these days? Seven?
Six, 7.5, yeah.
It's not that I like this short, then 2.5 or whatever it is. It's just like, I get what you... But I'm also a site finish guy too, right? Yeah.
Five's nice.
Five is comfortable looking.
I like five. Five doesn't fuck me up in the doorways. When you get wider, you get some of the eights and nines.
Yeah,
and
now you're like, carving.
Now I'm taking more measurements to start than I normally do because now I'm like, fuck, I don't want to be on this hallway. I don't want to be straddling this doorway.
Yeah.
Five doors down, right, all the way. And then that slows me down. So because some of these houses are fucking monsters.
Yeah.
Like the biggest house I've done is not... not one of the probably the bigger ones you've seen, but it's 6,000 square feet still.
That's a lot.
Sizable.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's 6,000 plus the basement.
Well, that doesn't include the basement. It doesn't include.
So you're basically a year about almost nine.
Yeah, and it was not including the tile areas too. So there's 2,000 square feet of tile on that job too. But you know, you can't. At some point, you just have to accept where that board lies. You can't measure it all.
Like, no.
Yeah.
You got to find the sweet spot.
Yeah.
But there's never one perfect sweet spot.
Exactly.
So you gotta, it's almost a give and take.
Yeah.
You gotta figure it out, right?
When I get those wider boards, I'm looking at, all right, where does it land in the hallway and where does it land against the railing?
Yeah.
Because on a 9-inch board, if I leave fucking 1/2 inch against the railing, that looks like shit.
It does.
That's on me. I didn't measure that properly.
I know, but if you got a doorway or if it's someplace else or whatever, then it's left an inch there, then you got to compromise, right? Yeah.
And now you get to this spot sometimes where there's two or three staircases that you got to deal with, two or three. So, and they're not all lined up.
So which one do you lined up with? The main one, the first one? I don't know. Like, I know you just
hope and a prayer sometimes.
You pray to the measuring gods and just go, okay, well, hopefully this will line up.
You do your due diligence early on and you try to, you know, I try to start where the hardest stuff will be later, get that out of the way so that after day one, I've got a really good idea of, all right, that's going to take, those two rooms are going to take me a day. Those three rooms are going to take me a day. And then, you know, you tell your GC, hey, you know what? I might be done a day early, get your trim guys in here or whatever. But
are the guys, like, I always did it. The floor went in first, covered and protected the floor. Then the trim guys did all the work. I know I've heard of GCs doing, and a lot of American GCs go the other way around. They put all the trim in first and then they get the floor guys to come in.
A lot of them will put shoe mold in, so the baseboard will be in.
Yeah.
But that means the doors are on because they're not putting just some of the baseboard on. They want all the baseboard on. So the casing's got to go on, which means the door frames have got
to
go on.
It's a pain in the ass to put the floor down now.
And they're like, just fucking undercut the door jams. I'm like, no, I know how to do that.
It's not as clean of a cut.
It's not as clean of a cut. Doesn't look as nice.
No.
It's a pain in the ass to install wide boards through that. You're going to have on these houses, you're going to have the fucking, what's the word I'm looking for? Backband on the casing.
Yeah, on the casing.
So now I can't.
It's hard for you to get underneath there. I know.
If I'm working towards it, I can't get in there, right?
I know.
I've got my little tricks.
Why are they so like against that? Putting the floor first and then the trim second?
The trim guys usually complain. They're like, I don't want to deal with the floor.
Put your trim clean cut off the saw right on the floor.
Now they're more responsible for making sure that it's.
Yeah, but that's why you put paper and you put eighth inch masonite throughout the hole.
But they're more responsible for making sure that it looks a certain way, I guess. I feel like if they leave it up and let me go underneath, and then the shoe mold's easier to kind of.
Yeah, they have no responsibility because they can just damage everything. They don't have to be cautious for everything.
Exactly.
I know, but I'm telling you, that's the wrong way to do it.
I agree.
Floor with goes first.
I charge now. I charge, you know, on bottom of my quote. It'd be like $15 an opening, just a small charge, but for me to undercut that door jam, just.
Your construction business simplified. What's the hardest part of running your construction business? Keeping everything organized, right? Meet Jobtable, the simplest way to manage your employees, job quotes, and invoices all in one place. Forget the guesswork. Jobtable keeps your schedule crystal clear. Send professional quotes and get approvals faster. Automatically track payments so you never chase money again. Stop juggling 10 different tools and start using the one that works. Try Jobtable free at jobtable.com, the easiest tool for contractors who are ready to grow. Stair nosing. It's a good point because it's always I remember being a discussion, right? Whether the stair guy actually has to copy, match something, or if it's the flooring guy that has a stair nosing coming from the manufacturer. But not all manufacturers have stair nosing for all their product, or do they these days?
They don't all, but it's pretty easy to get it made out of the product now. There's a couple companies even in Mississauga.
So they'll miter it and put it all together?
Yeah, well, it's not even mitered. They almost rab it out a square just underneath the wear layer of the flooring. And then they cut that piece so it's like, like that, right?
I get it.
So,
I see what you're saying.
Shit.
Don't worry. It's all good. It's all good.
I told you I'm not good with phones.
No. Don't worry. It's all good.
In my eye, that was off.
So now they're making their, because I guess it's got to, in my opinion, the stair nosing should match the tread.
Yep.
Right? But it has to still be the same color. Like I remember we did some jobs where it's like clients are asking for, I don't know if it was oak, it was white oak, and all of a sudden they went with the maple option on the staircase. And I'm like, you guys realize that the grain.
Oh, the grain, you can't do that. No.
And then also maple is a nightmare to stain to try to match oak.
My favorite is when they try to match white oak and red oak, because they're like, well, the red oak treads were cheaper, so we got those, so we're going to try and match this. I take a step back at that. I'm like, it's not my.
You can't, because the red oak's cheaper. That's why they want to do that.
Well, I'm not a painter either, so I'm like, I'm not going to tell you can't do this because it's not my trade.
Yeah, but when they come to stain it, it's not going to match at all.
But that's out of the scope of my. Sometimes you just got to take a step back and be like, I put the flooring in that you wanted in. I've a lot of this. I'm just hearing them talk to other people, and I'll talk to the builder if I can.
Is there a designer nearby that's actually making this suggestion or not bringing this up as an issue?
Designers are another thing. Usually it's more about directionality of the flooring and stuff like that for designers. For me, I don't like that they get to say what direction the flooring goes over. I get to say what the direction the flooring goes, but
okay, you tell me. But I was always of the mind, I paid attention to sunlight pattern and length of room would dictate the direction of the flooring.
Joists, across the joists, to minimize squeaks later.
Yeah.
That's my number one. Usually the house is built to accommodate that. So.
Yeah, the spans are perpendicular.
Yeah.
That's how they designed it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Structurally speaking.
You want the flooring running down the hallway. That's important. Ideally, you know, you want it running into your fireplace because that's a focal point, you know, towards the water.
But you could still frame it around the hearth if you wanted to.
Oh, I always do.
And do right?
I
think thresholds should be outlawed. I think that any kind of transition or threshold or reducer or any of that crap should not be existent. Like
I don't care for them either.
Yeah.
And any chance that I can, I get rid of them. But sometimes you're at the mercy of the tile guy that did a terrible job.
It's a good point.
And I'm not a tile guy, so
I was in a job last year, brand new. I think I mentioned it on the show, and the floor was off by 1 inch. Brand new frame. It was a modular frame. So from the threshold of the entry of the bathroom to where the window was at the room, bathroom was a good size. It was like 10 plus feet. it was an inch difference out of level.
So not the billiard room.
I was just stunned how bad that was, and he had to build it all up, and he was still getting a lip at the threshold. Wow. And I said, this is going to be a, like, it was a good 3/8, almost a half inch lip of tile to the flooring. And I said, in all fairness, man, like, this flooring needs to be skinned again. Like the wood flooring part of it. And so then you can get that wood at least level to the threshold.
Was this in the bathroom for the tile, or was this on the wood side?
So this was outside on the hallway.
Okay.
And I just looked at where that tile was, and I said, okay, well, that's about an inch and something there. It's about an inch and an eighth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if it was me, I'd be skinning down 3/8 ply.
Right.
So then now if I got 19 mil 3/4 hardwood, you just drop it on and goes right in, and it's nice and clean.
Right.
But they weren't doing that. And the designer was there, and I was like, who's that? And he goes, the designer. I was like, okay, I'll be quiet. Because those things don't really bother designers.
Right.
The grain and color and the tone of the wood and the tile, all that shit is what they really are focused on. But as a homeowner, I like the fact that you can just literally glide right from floor to floor.
All I care about is that it's flat and straight across and straight up and down.
Yeah. Plumb.
Because I'll ramp up to like heating, in-floor heating is always a little thicker, or I'll ramp down to...
But what's your maximum ramp up? Because I've done that too.
I mean, it's, sometimes it looks silly, but...
I know.
You're stuck with but that. But
you can ramp up a good 3/16 of an inch, and you can't really tell, but at least you get the curse out of there, right?
Yeah.
The only way you could tell is if you're drunk and you passed out right at the threshold and you're looking down at the casing, the jam, and you're like going, hey, this is ramped up.
Yeah, that problem doesn't really occur when it's 3/4 inch hardwood, but you get some of these people that have down to 3/8 inch hardwood and they want to...
Then you can tell
because now you're going up more than double the... Because 3/4 inch would be going up. Now it's an inch because you got in-floor heating in there, and I did one of those, and he was happy. That's all that mattered, I guess. I was like, what do you want me to do here?
No, you're just giving them options at that point, right? And it's just like, I always just like smooth transitions between all different floor materials. And so you got to fight that battle. But the thing is, there's going to be extra costs, and clients are going to have to understand that. Okay. The alternative is that every day that you wake up in your brand new home, you're going to have this lip here every single day if you don't figure out how to do this better. And the cost of skinning all this wood here is worth it, in my opinion. I get it, though.
100%. The cost involved isn't really that much either to have a flat transition. It's easier for me if I go before the tile guy, but obviously...
No, I always put the tile guy before the wood.
The tile guy first? It's 6 and 1/2 dozen the other, really.
Well, because he's always... It's a lot of wet. It's a lot of mixing. It's a lot of mortars. It's a lot of chemicals.
That's fair.
And you got to protect the wood, even if you put paper down or you put some sort of ram board. There's a risk, and that's why, right? So it's like, I'll still put the hardwood. So I do the tile flooring first before any trim starts happening.
Yeah.
Then I'll put the hardwood flooring in. Then I put all the trim going in.
Right.
That's the stages that I go.
That's cool.
And everyone's got to be conscious of everybody else. As simple as that, right? So I go from wet to dry flooring, and then I'll trim on top of that. I think it makes for a cleaner look at the end of it, right?
100%.
Then you give it to the painters and they could figure and clean it all up at that point, right?
Yeah.
But what's the rule of thumb with the widthness? If you pass 5 in a width, you start gluing down?
5+ is glue assist, yeah.
That's all manufacturers across the board these days, or?
I go by the lowest common denominator, or the lowest that I've seen as a glue assist recommendation, and I take that across the lot
because
it's
5.
Just easier for me to know that I'm at least overdoing it rather than underdoing it. And glue assist install is not really much harder than the other one anyway. It's just another drab, drizzle of glue. Lazy S.
It's not are some jokers not gluing white boards?
100%.
Really?
So I supply only as well. And I've got
guys. That's pure squeaks. Like, that's pure squeaks.
I got guys 7.5 inch too. I really have to.
No glue.
I'm like, no, you should glue it. Because I'm like, look at the field of the floor and think how many fewer fasteners are in that floor than if you did a 3 1/4 inch hardwood.
And it's still wood. Like, it's still going to cup.
Move. Your house is wood. This is wood. Like, it's everything's still wood. I'm like, I'm just selling you the flooring. I'm telling you I'm an installer. That's what you should do. But. Ultimately, it's your choice. I never hear about it afterwards. It's just a supply. But I definitely get pushback on you know, it's like they want me to tell them it's okay not to do that extra step. I'm not going to tell them that.
No, because it's a bad move if they don't.
It's a terrible move. I've never had a builder tell me not to do that to save money or like that, which is good. So I've chosen good builders to work with, but these DIYers that like to do it themselves.
Because they don't know. Listen, it's mastery when you got a proper flooring person. I haven't met a flooring woman, so it's most of them are guys, right?
There's one I follow. She's really good.
Yeah,
actually.
She's good.
Phoenix, I think.
Yeah. What's the handle?
I think Phoenix Floors.
Okay, out of what states?
GTA, I think.
Or in Toronto.
Yeah.
They know how to wield that trowel when it comes to the gluing or whatever it's going to be, or if you've got the gun or whatever it is. Like, they just know how to do it, so then you don't get any glue, anything on the boards.
Right.
So that's why they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's part of the process, right?
I don't. Yeah. Well. It's not full spread glue for
no. It's just
like
lines, right?
It's basically it's just a lazy S. 10 inches.
Yeah.
But yeah, the full spread glues. I don't know. I can't remember the last time I got glue on flooring. Early on, yeah, it was a nightmare. I used to hate gluing flooring.
Yeah, but then you learn how to do it.
Just learn. You don't use so much. You know, you don't need that much, and be careful when you're pushing
it's like
them
mudding.
Together.
It's the same thing. Yeah. When you get started mudding, you got mud all over you at the beginning. Then you learn how to do it properly, yeah. And you'll always catch it before it falls or whatever. And right. Then you know how to move.
You're a better drywaller than I've seen if you're catching your own mud.
No, in the beginning, I was like probably the most popular guy in prison, right? It's just like you got it all over yourself. But after that, you just get a few specs here and there, right?
Right.
And then you start learning how to do it, and you learn how to feather. Same thing with every trade is exactly the same, right?
Yeah.
That's just how it works. But yeah, you're right. DIYers, they're just like, I'm sure that they're fighting with the big box people going, why do I have to put glue down? Why do I have to put glue down?
Yeah. Oh, it's just, you know, big glue wants me to buy glue. Like, no, we just want you to have less squeaks, maybe.
There's nothing worse than a brand new floor that squeaks. And I've never had it.
Yeah.
But I've been in, it's funny. I've been in, you know, I don't know if they still do it. The Princess Margaret House, at the lottery still do it?
I think I hear about it every year still. Yeah.
I remember walking into a few of them and I'm like, what the hell is this, man? Like, I'm literally feeling the pockets. I'm feeling the squeaking. And I'm like, this is really, really bad.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be a $4 million house.
Exactly. They're massive cottages and they're like on Rosso and like, or that's how they bill it. I've never seen one, but.
I've taken out the covers on the floor registers. I've looked underneath certain things. Yeah. I've gone into the cabinetry. I've seen how the plumbing was finished. I see all that shit. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's an absolute nightmare. It's all about the pretty picture that's probably photoshopped when they start selling it online. But in person, when you're walking around, I'm just finding deficiency after deficiency.
Yeah.
And I just keep my mouth shut and I'm like, I wouldn't want this house. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near this house.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, but that's how I get it, because I guess you get the exposure as a trade, as a business, as a supplier. You know, you're associated with that big lottery and everybody's trying to get I know the numbers game, how many people that they have to buy a ticket, and then they're literally making money off of this now, right? For the chance of winning at that point.
Are trades, because it's a charity, are they coming to the table with free labor?
I don't know if it's ever free. I know that it's discounted. I don't know if all the products are free. I don't know what the deals are, but I'm sure that there's a bunch of conversations that are happening, right? It's no different than HGTV and TV. And, you know, like I've had plenty of, I remember back in my early days, I remember I was doing a project and all of a sudden, you know, TV got wind of me and got wind of a project. And then one by one, they were reaching out to all my trades, asking them to be on the show, a future show, a new show that was happening. And then they would give me the lowdown on what they were expecting. And there was an option there for free labor for exposure for their business at the time. And I would just look at them and laugh. And I was just like, okay, when you signing up? And like, we're not signing up. What's wrong with you, man? We want nothing to do with this. I just found it funny that the production company was actually reaching out to all the tradespeople that were associated with me.
Right.
And I was just like, one by one, they came up to me and told me that they got reached out to. And I was like, you guys know where my stance is on this, man. You should be paid in full, 100%. If anything, you should be paid more to do it.
Yeah.
But they're expecting you to do it at a discount.
Because if you're on TV, and this is what I always wondered about HGTV, I've never really been interested in being on it because I fucking hate being slowed down. And
yeah, they start and stop you all the time.
If you're going to be videotaping me, you're going to not like the angle I'm at or whatever. I'm like, that's how I fucking have to be to do my job. Like, what do you want me to do? You know, I'm going to look like an idiot on this show if I'm going to do it wrong. Like, but anyway, so I've never really.
They want you to accommodate to them, not the other way around.
Yeah. And they're like, exposure, all this stuff.
It's all bullshit.
I'm like, how many people really care if I'm on HGTV or not? Maybe more than I think. But
no, but I think those clients you don't want to really work for, right? Okay. But that's a whole other world. I'm sure that is changing these days, but they still try to peddle that snake oil.
Right.
There's huge value for you being on show.
Yeah.
I disagree. There's huge value if you feature the skills that you offer on the show.
Yeah.
That's what I think the value is, right?
I was always agnostic on it, where I was like, I'm not going to say it's not going to help me, but I'm not believing it either.
I've never had a conversation with any trade. It was just like, yeah, we got a whack of money from it. We made a lot of jobs. And I remember Jim and I, we were chatting about, like Jim Carrick, we were talking about it. And he was like, in the early days, but this is back in 2001, he goes, he was getting recognized quite a bit, and a lot of clients would bring it up in the conversation. Whether they made their final decision on hiring him based on solely on that, he didn't feel that was the case.
No.
He felt more that his reputation was actually getting him the work, right? Gotcha. Like you said, it didn't hurt his chances of getting the job.
Right.
But he never had a client just flat out going, we're hiring you because you've been on TV. We trust you because you've been on TV. That never happened, right?
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's other jokers that are on TV that just solely use that. You know, you should trust me because I've been on TV.
Yeah.
That's a different story there, man. But attention, aspiring tradespeople and entrepreneurs. Looking to break into the skilled trades or start your own home service business? Meet TradeLinks Consulting, your go-to partner for success. At TradeLinks Consulting, they're passionate about helping you find the right trade, build your business, and mentor the next generation. Whether you're exploring your options or ready to take the plunge, they offer tailored career consulting and startup guidance to get you on the right track. Visit them at www.tradelinkconsulting.ca today and book your personalized strategy session. Your future in the skilled trade starts here. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. What's the second runner-up to White Oak, man? If everybody's doing White Oak, nobody doing anything interesting unless they have money, right? It becomes Walnut.
Hickory comes into play.
Hickory's nice.
Yeah, I like hickory. I got hickory in my place, and I just did a big hickory job in Dorset. So that's always nice to see come through, because it does get a little tiresome to see the same thing over and over again. But for me, it's the layout of the house. I like doing custom homes over renos these days. For a bunch of reasons. I like to work on a quiet site. Not always going to happen, obviously, but in a reno, it's never quiet. There's always...
You know, but flooring, you guys should own the site, no? There's no place for anybody to be.
Thank you, but that's not the case.
I know, they still try to park people in your way.
I was just on a site, just finished a site earlier, I guess it's still January, so earlier this month, and I was told, you got the site. You got the whole site, Monday to Friday. It's all yours. I'm like, awesome.
In writing?
No. Well, you know what? It could have been a text message. I'd have to look back and see if it was.
You had the whole site. It's all yours. Site
to myself. Sweet. So I get there on Monday. There's fucking two electricians in the driveway. So I can't get in the driveway. And then there's, the first day was fine. The first day was, it was all me, but the snow hadn't been plowed. So I couldn't get my truck into the driveway. So I had to trudge all my tools 200 feet from the road up to the, it was the third day where I came in, and I was, I let the builder know, I'm going to be done a day early. You can have your guys in on Friday. He took that to be bring him in tomorrow or something. So he had electricians in. They weren't in my way. They were in the basement, and they could get in from the mud room and never touch me. That was fine.
Good.
But they had the tile guys in there starting where I had started. It was knowing that the tile guys were well after me. So where I was at that exact day, every single tiled room was, I would be in their way, they would be in my way.
Yeah.
Like, that's just where I was on the job.
Yeah.
Where I was like, today's making sure all the transitions are under the doorways and all everything is good. I'm going to finish up, get into every doorway so that my last day is boom, 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 done early, cover up the floor and we're out of here and, give it to the...
But that didn't go like that.
Didn't go like that, no. Tile guy blames the builder. Builder blames the tile guy.
How much longer did it take you to do what you were supposed to do?
Honestly, not much. No, it was fine. The tile guy was fine. He was good to be around, but I got a little touch of the autism when it comes to stuff like when my schedule gets bumped.
Because it affects.
It really affects me. So
who's really at fault there? The builder?
scheduling. Yeah, I never saw him on site, so it was that week. But yeah, he says it wasn't him. It doesn't really matter who it was. It's job got done. We all got, you know.
Me looking at it as a third party outside the window and everything, looking in, I'm going, yeah, the builder's a fault.
Yeah.
Scheduling bullshit like that.
I'm more back on the snow wasn't plowed out of the fucking driveway. I couldn't get up.
Builder. Site yeah. super.
Yeah.
Like that's all associated with the builder.
Bathroom. You couldn't get to the bathroom. So I was...
Holy cow, this is just getting better and better.
I was probably 20 minutes back and forth. I got four-wheel drive in my truck, back and forth trying to make myself, you know, closer to the house.
It was that much snow?
It was more the incline, I think,
maybe. Oh.
And there was no aggregates underneath. It was mud underneath. So it was just not what I'm used to from this builder either. It's usually much better, but... it was just a shit show all around. And then the tile guys showing up and the electrician showing up that day. I was just...
All you needed was the plumbers and the HVAC to be
there. I needed Limp Bizkit is what I needed. I needed to get the fuck out of my way.
No, I know. Just get the work done. Don't they realize that the work goes a lot better and you finish a lot sooner if you give each trade the time and the space to do what they need to do when they're ready to do it?
I don't know what the rush was either. There was no fucking front door on this place. It's just getting worse for you, I think, as a third party. Because as I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, oh, yeah, there was no front door either. So I had to be like, hey, where do you want me to stop? So inside the drywall?
What's the temperature?
They had it all tarped off.
But they had a heat, like salamanders?
They had the heat in there, yeah.
Okay.
But just tarps on the front. I'm not used to that. Even, like, I'm used to there being not the final door on the front. But
they always want to save it to the very end.
Just a sacrificial case, right? Door. Like,
yes.
Just the builder door, something, because there's no lock on the doors or anything like that.
So where'd you finish the flooring then?
Inside the between the drywall and the frame. So I just said, this is where I think the door is going to be. Like, what do you think?
The door guy is going to have to either cut it or build on top of it. I don't know if you would build it on top of it.
Hopefully you can just slide against it. Like, that's the idea.
Possibly. But
we'll see. I'll hear about it. I'll have to go back or something.
I find it really fascinating that they'll spend so much time and effort selecting a floor, and then we spend so much time and effort installing that floor, taking care of it, making sure it's perfect, trying to, like you said, all the math that's involved to line up where we start, line up where we're going to end, try to get the full pieces that we can at the most visible. Like, we spend all this other stuff. And as soon as it's installed, nobody's ever looking down. Once you move into the house, nobody's ever looking down.
Or they're going to cover it in area rugs.
Area rugs, furnishings, all kinds of stuff. Nobody ever looks down at every single difficult point that you had installing that flooring.
Yeah, but I still go home feeling good about it.
No, I feel great about it too, right? It's like, yeah, no, that was a great effort. That was a great effort. All those little details, but they never pay attention to it when it's all said and done and everything's inside the house.
I think subconsciously they must though, because I wouldn't still be able to continuously have work if my work wasn't better than somebody else's work. I think
true.
I think subconsciously it does hit some people, maybe not the homeowner themselves, but I don't deal with the homeowner as much as I ever used to, so I'm not sure that that's who I'm really trying to impress anymore. It's always the builder. I'm trying to make sure that I get that repeat business, and I'm trying to just make sure I'm okay with it too.
Well, what's the builder really looking for? The builder's looking for somebody who's going to, first of all, show up on time when they're ready to get in there and start doing the work.
Harder than it should be.
Yeah. And then do the good quality work that they're happy and everything's good. And there's no conversation happening with the client because now we're moving on to the next stage. And then rinse and repeat. Do the next job. Yeah. Same way. Do the next job. Same 100%. Way. Make money. If they can make a few points here and there off of you, then great. Now
I give them the tools to make money. I know they got to make money too. And I don't have to go and quote that job anymore for six or seven different builders. I know I'm the guy. So
that's the best, eh? When you find
exactly, it's awesome.
You find the avenues of money. Like, you find good builders to work with. Like, that's what all trades want to do. They just want to find a good select six or seven. If they can get to 10, great. Then they always.
I'm still building
work, right?
Yeah, I'm always building. I'm always looking for more custom builders to work with, but. These guys, I know that they will give me their one or two houses a year.
Yeah.
If I do my best.
Yeah.
I find it hard not to do my best anymore now.
Scott, just throw it in, man. Do a shit job.
Yeah.
Put everything upside down.
I have a story about that.
Are you fucking kidding me?
My guy.
No, really?
The one guy, yeah, I had.
It's pretty obvious which side's up, man.
It's more obvious when you hear this story. Holy fuck. Okay,
share, please.
Okay. He's installing laminate, and he gives me a call. He's like, Scott, he's like, there's two different types of flooring here. Not the first time I've seen that happen, where there's a box of black and a box of white. Like,
yeah, sure.
Two completely different colors. I'm like, all right, just use the next box. I'll be right there. He's like, it's not just that. They don't click together. I'm like, just do what you can. You just started. Like, I'll be there in like 20 minutes.
Make it work.
So I get there. I'm like, fuck, Jordy. There's a fucking date on here. Like, yeah, you can see the date. This is the back of the fucking floor. I think he was screwed up because on laminates, often the grain will still be on the back, like just from how it's pressed. I think grain is pressed on the front and the back.
Okay.
But the picture is still obviously the one side. Date on the back. I'm like, come on, man. I just flipped it over.
How much flooring did he do?
And he was like, oh, well, it was just the fact that I had to be there. It was supposed to be his thing to be on his own. I wasn't supposed to be there at all. So it was right at the beginning.
Did you realize the error?
Oh, I showed him the error.
And then he saw it?
He saw it. He knew. He was like, oh, no. I'm like, it's okay, man. If this is the worst thing that you do today, this is at least funny.
It's easy to fix. Because yeah. They weren't clicking in, I guess.
Well, they weren't clicking in, and they looked different. I was like, well, didn't you try to flip it over and see?
Do you ever, like, I always had an argument with clients regarding they would spend the quality money and choose a product for the main floor and the second floor, and then they would just dismiss it for the basement and go with like the cheapest option in the basement that looks similar to what they've chose for the other two floors. And yeah. I would always explain to them, you guys, the way I'm building this basement, I'm not building it as a basement. I'm building it as a third floor.
Right.
I'm separating your substructure from the concrete. So there's no thermal bridge going on. I'm actually insulating everything right down to the floor. So it's basically, I can put hardwood in this basement if you wanted. I could put engineer for sure in this basement.
For sure, yeah.
You guys can go this way, right? And they would always be surprised by that. And I'm like, what's the point of you building a basement and having all this extra space that you really want to use? It's not a dungeon anymore.
Right.
It's a basement. And all of a sudden, you're choosing a product that is not as good as the rest of the house when you shouldn't be doing that. You should be using the exact same product.
I never really thought along those lines on that, because it's just so prevalent that you put your vinyl or your laminate downstairs. There's enough that gets glued down, engineered right on the concrete. It's fine.
I still wouldn't do that. I always separate it. I always put 1-inch styrofoam, shiplap, tape it, and then I tap con the subfloor 5/8, and then I'm already sealed up to the walls, so now I can put whatever I want on that flooring.
You can even just do a traditional install.
Yeah.
At that point. Yeah.
We've always done it that way.
But when I'm dealing with clients on that, that would be definitely a conversation between a builder and the homeowner, because you'd have to worry about that step on the bottom when you're adding that extra.
Well, that's why you're factoring that in when you're ordering the stairs, right? So you're dealing with the construction stairs at that point, but when you order your final stairs, you're going to factor in that height of typically 1-inch and then 5/8 your ply, and then the thickness of your flooring.
No, 100%. But as I'm not a builder, so I don't have those conversations. So for me, I'm like, I'm loving that, because that's a better way to do it, 100%.
And technically, with code, even if you were just put laminate down, that change of a 1/2-inch thickness of laminate to the step, if the inspector wanted to be a dick, he could say something about that.
But there must be some variance on that bottom step regardless.
I think it might be only 1/8 of an inch. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. But technically speaking, I remember a stair guy telling me, he's passed on now, but I remember him telling me that he had one inspector that was a dick, measured every single rise. And then he discovered on the basement one, and then they had to change it. They had to change the stair. And I was Jesus Christ, are you kidding me? Like, this is ridiculous. Homeowners are going to be, he goes, it's not the homeowners, it's guests. Because instinctively, your foot, as you're coming down or up, you kind of see the step there. But if it's off by 1/2 inch or something like that, you could trip.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like,
yeah, we're designed, or our brains are wired to that gate. But I don't understand why the steps wouldn't, when it got built, you're going down to the basement, you have to assume that there's going to be some kind of floor. Even carpet is going to bring you up 1/2 inch sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, it's weird.
It's interesting.
I guess you get some. I never had the inspector do that with me. The only thing the inspector did, he complained to me, was that I did that whole flooring thing. I raised it up, insulated, separated it from it.
Yeah.
But I never did it in the mechanical room. So I remember him doing the whole walkthrough. He was a bit of a dick to begin with because he refused to put any booties on and he refused to take his safety footwear off. So he was walking right through this whole brand new house, completely uncovered for the final walkthrough with his boots. Right. And I had a problem with that. I was like, dude, the least you could do is put the booties on. He goes, no, I don't have to do it.
Even they were provided for him and he wouldn't do it.
I don't have to do it, he said.
Fuck.
I have to still keep my safety boots here, and I don't know if the tread on that safety boot cover will be sufficient enough for me. So anyway, he's walking through the whole house, no issues whatsoever, not finding a single thing, gets down to the basement, does the whole walkthrough, freaks out at this basement bathroom that I built mostly out of wood, right? And all of a sudden, he walks into the mechanical room, inspects the mechanical room, and then as he's walking out, he trips on the lip of the difference in flooring. And he goes, you need to put a ramp over there.
Jeez, if he had his
booties
on.
And I look at him and I'm like, okay, fine. Never put the ramp in there. Got the clothes and that was done. Fuck. Attention subcontractors and skilled trades. Are you looking for your next big opportunity? 2x2 Construction is expanding and is on the hunt to grow our top-tier network of professionals. Whether you're a carpenter, plumber, or roofer, etc., if you can deliver top-quality craftsmanship, offer competitive pricing, and your communication is where we shine, we want to hear from you. At 2x2 Construction, we value strong partnerships. From multiplexes to garden suites, we're all about building better together, and we want you to be a part of it. Reach out today at info@2x2construction.ca or connect with us on Instagram at 2x2construction. Join the 2x2 Construction team where great work meets great people. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. I'm like, give me a fucking break. You're just not paying attention because you're in awe of all the workmanship that's going on here.
Exactly.
And now you just want to complain about one thing. He's also, I found out later on that he was taking money as bribes and other builders and all this other shit. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. That's really interesting.
Jesus.
I don't know where he's at right now, but he was the one inspector on this whole job. He kept on showing up over and over, and I kept on going, you again? He goes, yep.
Oh, man.
Every single stage, I was like, you again? And I'm like, yep. And he was such a by-the-book fucking guy. I was surprised that I made it that far and got it all done.
I didn't start in flooring. I started actually in excavation as a laborer for my brother-in-law. But we would do, like, septics
French drains and stuff.
French drains. Yeah. So we did one drain. It was just into a leach pit for the rainwater.
Yeah.
But it had to be inspected.
Yeah.
Guy comes in and he's like, oh, that's got backfall on it. I was on the laser, so I knew. So it's got 1%. Like, I'm like, nope, it's got 1%. It's all good. My brother-in-law is just like, Scott, because I didn't care. Like, it's, I just told him it.
He just looked at it.
He just looked at it.
And he's, okay. So, all right.
So he's talking to my brother-in-law, and the guy's saying, you should just be using your eye. Don't worry about the laser. You should be using your eye to see that that's got fall. I'm like, fuck, what?
That's what he's saying?
Inspector. Now, he was an inspector in training, we came to find later. But why would you ever start your career? Oh, of course he's wrong.
100% he's wrong.
He's wrong. But he's,
I'd be like going, what kind of papers do you do for your weed?
Exactly.
Like, you're out to lunch, dude.
I'm like, even if it was a septic line, even if it was the 4-inch septic, it's still 1% is what you do.
It's still going to move.
It's still going to move. You're going to get that tennis ball down there. It's all going to be fine.
Yeah.
And like, we're just talking about rainwater here. Like, it's, you know, it's, anyway, that was, I forget how we got down
that
road.
You guys were using a tennis ball?
No, but I know the plumbers sometimes will do that.
They use tennis balls?
Or is it?
There's friction on the hair.
Well, they use something, don't they?
It's a cue ball.
Cue ball, okay.
Yeah, you use pool cue ball.
I know, I saw the big horse cock that they put in the fucking thing to do the pressure tests. But
yeah, I've seen those as well too. And the same inspector on that same job, we had a discussion because it was just at the transition period where for most plumbing inspections, some inspectors were forcing you to get on the roof and do the water from the vent stack off the roof line, not tie into a clean out on the second floor and go in through there, right? Okay. So it was just a discussion, and this particular inspector, he was fine with doing it on the inside and not having to go to the roof.
Right.
And then I remember my plumber telling me, he goes, yeah, back in his day, because he was in his, he was 10 years older than me, he was like, yeah, we, they always forced us to get on the roof and then run the water through there on a hose to make sure that everything was joint, right?
To make sure you tie off and everything like that.
Well, then that's a different conversation. But technically speaking, if the plumber had to go onto the roof,
yeah,
they would have to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I'm, well, for me, I'm on the floor for a reason. I'm fucking terrified of heights. So if
he would cheat it sometimes. Yeah. He would actually cut the pipe short before it exited the roof, and then he would just have to get a ladder and go from the attic.
Okay.
And then pour the water and go from there.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, that makes sense to me. There's no difference between that and then going on the roof line an extra 3-4 feet.
Yeah.
But now you're safer. You're inside. You're in a closed environment, yeah, and you're on a step ladder. And as long as you're not on the top, then it's fine.
That makes sense.
But if you get inspectors that could be just dicks about it, and I'm like, dude, just calm down. Like, yeah,
think like, about it logically for a second.
Yeah.
This doesn't really affect your day or your report.
He was always, he was an entertainer. And then when I remember I bumped into one guy and he's like, I know exactly who that is, right? And then he tells me this whole story about a payoff. And I'm like,
oh no.
Then I don't know how I got it out of him. This is fucking funny. It was, he kind of told me that he did do it without telling me that he did do it. He just said, if I get back to my car, which is unlocked, and there's an envelope on my driver's seat, I have no idea who gave me that envelope. I don't have no idea what's inside that envelope. And I'm looking at him going, did you just say that you
wanted?
I go, you did. So like, he just leaves his vehicle unlocked.
And you're like, don't worry, there's not going to be an envelope there.
Yeah,
you're
I'm fine. Not leaving the envelope there. I'm not going to go to Staples and buy any envelopes. And I'm definitely not putting any cash in there. I'm going to build the structure the way it's supposed to be built. And I will challenge you if you want to challenge me. And I will tell you that this is correct regarding code. Leave it at that. And that's exactly what I did. I chose option B instead of option A in his world, right? But that was entertaining.
Yeah, I guess so. I had a teacher in university that gave us all envelopes. And he's like, there's no book for this class. And I don't even remember what it was, a media or something like that. It was something that I wasn't going to buy the book anyway. But he's like, here's all your PDF files. They're accessible through your Turnitin or whatever it was.
Okay.
He's like, the envelope is for whatever you think this is worth to you, that I've collected all this for you. He did not come back for the second class because he got so many complaints about trying to get money out of the students for.
I guess it worked before.
It must have at some point, or maybe this was his first try and he just never came back. But yeah, for us, it was very odd.
So he's printing off his own book and then he's asking you to pay for that.
Not even off. Printing it off. He's got it digitally accessible on the portal for the classroom.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys were going there and download it and have it.
So he probably wasn't allowed to do that in the first place. And then also asking for money.
Is he still teaching?
No, he wasn't even teaching the next week. We had a new whole other class.
Oh, you got a yellow card. Something happened there. And this was for media?
It was media or music appreciation. It was one of my electives. It was, yeah.
It'd be interesting to try that out, eh? You imagine that's happening to different trades that are doing like that?
Oh, I know about enough of it going on in the flooring thing.
Oh, there's all kinds of kickbacks and crap and all kinds of shit. The shadiness in the industry.
I'm too small to get in those
conversations. I can imagine it. Like, you can't even bring up union and start talking it because the diehard union people will start defending it. And I'm like, dude, the union is one of the most corrupts right behind government. I don't care what anybody says, right? You guys are corrupt.
Yeah.
Because there's so much money coming in from each member. That's all it is. And then you guys start using this money in ways that you shouldn't be using it.
And the projects themselves. The projects themselves.
How are they getting the projects. Right? And then that's how they justify it to the people that will support them going, listen, we're securing all this work for you guys.
Yeah.
Right? It costs money to secure this work. I thought it costs like skills. We need skills.
Yeah.
The right people to build. No, it costs money.
Anyone that I've talked to about union, they're always the same. It's always like, hey, you know, if you are one of those guys that can't not do a good job, you won't last there because they won't let you work as hard because it makes the other guys look bad and all this stuff. I guess maybe that's not right. That's what I've
heard. No, it's right. I've always said that the union today is designed for the weak.
Yeah.
That they don't want go-getters, someone And in all fairness, like most people that get into the union, they stay there for the pension. Once they can achieve that, then they get the hell out. Then they're set and it's done. But yeah. Do they love the union?
My brother-in-law was just in. I think he's still in. And he did love it because he felt he had a purpose. He felt everything was doing going really great for him. He was in there for, 2 weeks short of his 2 years or whatever he needed to be hired on. And they let him go. And then he was never called again for anything. So
they let him go just shy of when he was going to be a full?
Just shy of when he was going to be full, yeah.
And that's a good move on the union part?
No.
Of course I'm not.
Saying he thought it was, he yeah, thought I know. The union was great.
But he was very pro-union and just like, this is the best.
This is awesome. I'm making more money I've ever made.
I know, but how does he feel about it now?
Oh, I don't think he loves it.
Of course,
he's not working for the union anymore. So he's still on the list, I think, but he's not not doing
it. I can't even imagine wood flooring installers for unions. And
well, that's I don't remember who it was I was talking to, but they were talking, I think, more about tile, but the guy was putting down too much tile and making everyone look bad.
Too fast?
Too fast, too much in the day. They're like, this is what we got to do today, and then that's it. Like, we got to keep this going, kind of. And I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I don't think I could physically do that. Even in closets, I'm making sure the cuts are right. Like, no, of course, because it's still part of the job. Like, how do you justify?
I did a job, same thing. It was like one of my first jobs. I did the basement exactly the way I always do the basements. I separated everything like that. Clients ended up having a flood because she left the hose on and it went through the window well. And I already gave them a heads up when I was building. You guys need to waterproof. They never waterproof. Basement got flooded, right?
Yeah.
Try to point the blame at the hot water tank exploding. It wasn't that. The culprit was the hose was left on. She never heard it through the whole house that the hose was left on.
Right.
And it was pouring all night long, all day long, and then finally discovered that it was a hose, right?
Wow.
So now...
That's a lot of water.
That's a lot. It was like 2 inches of water in the basement, Jesus and she Christ. Thought it was coming from the hot water tank. And I was like, it's impossible, right? And so that's what the discovery was. And then all of a sudden it became the insurance conversation, right? And then I was asked, since I did the previous work, the insurance came in, they discovered all we had to do was replace the hardwood flooring because we just had air dry everything else. I separated everything, so they just had to air dry everything, cut the 1 foot on the drywall, and then replace the baseboards and do all that stuff. That was it. It was such a cost savings on their end. Then came the phone call about, would you want to install the floor again? I was like, no, I already did your job. I'm not interested in doing this job again, right? I'm not interested in demoing it. I'm not interested in reinstalling all this other stuff.
Right.
And it was nice mahogany flooring that I chose. Oh, yeah. I found them and all this other shit, right? So then after the job was all done and they hired somebody else to do it, and you talk about the closet, I walk into the closet, which I remember doing two closets there, and I was so meticulous on trying to get it secured inside there. It was such a tight, it was a pain in the ass, right? And this is before the days of all those little fancy tools that you can do a little stretching and pulling, you know those tools, right? I love those tools, right?
Yeah.
And the idiot that did the job face nailed all the boards.
Oh my God.
In the closet.
All of them?
All of them.
Not just the one? Fuck.
All of them. He just face nailed all of them. I looked at the clients and I'm like, how did you guys accept this? And they go, we didn't know any better. Like, we didn't realize it. Now that you pointed out, we see it. I'm like, you don't see all these face nails? And then he just put some putty, color match putty to match it. And I was like, wow.
Because he figured it didn't matter in the closet. You at least hide them in the knots or something. Like, I'm just trying to think.
No, it's mahogany. It was all clear mahogany. Oh, okay. But then they replaced it with something that was similar.
Okay.
But I was just like that. I was just disgusted by it, right?
Yeah.
I was just like going, "What's like the pure?"
Why did they bring you back after?
No. I was stopping by just to say hello.
Oh,
visit. Okay. They're good clients, right? Oh. And I just like I was curious. I go, I want to see how they finished the job. And as soon as I walked down there, I was looking at the floor and I was like, something don't smell right. And then I was just curious. Let me open up the closet and boom,
there it is.
There it is, right there. And I'm like, that's what's not right. And then they asked me, like, what are you talking about? I go, that's what's not right. I go, I remember fighting this closet, getting that flooring in there properly where you didn't see us. Like I was shooting, I couldn't get with the brad and I had to get a nail set and then hammer it in just so I can get the next. I was struggling in there. I get it.
Yeah.
But he just thought, toom, 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 toom. Like he was playing tic-tac-toe or something like that. This is ridiculous, man.
Hallways and closets are time killers.
But that's when you should practice.
Yeah.
Fight, like all of your skills.
I'm 15 years in. I'm still, they're still time killers. Like that's just per square foot. I don't make anything on closets. Yeah,
no, you lose. You lose. And the
you make it up on the grand.
You practice on your plastering. You practice on your hanging your drywall. You practice on all the times that, like, it's really difficult because it's so tight and everything. And this was all angles and shit. That's, like, you had no space under there, right?
Right.
But I'm like, that's when you actually learn.
Yeah.
And I was just pissed that they did it this way.
It's a.
But that's what you get, I guess, when you restore emergency, flooding, whatever, right?
I do some restoration work for one company, and you know, I'm the guy that they hire. I can't do a different job for them than I do.
You don't shift gears, exactly.
I can't. Like, why? Yeah. Why would I even do that anyway?
But a lot of guys in the industry shift gears, man. When it comes to spray foam and blown-in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Foamit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Foamit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Foamit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Foamit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Foamit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@foamit.ca or visit them at www.foamit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
I don't even understand how they do it, though. It's such an anomaly to me.
I don't care. I got to get the hell out of here. That's how they look at it, right?
Yeah, okay.
Just make it look like it's just good enough.
I don't want the conversation later. That scares me a lot more than
they're being, not there for the conversation.
Being 20 anyway. Minutes later.
They're gone by then.
I guess they're not owners or...
Are you getting a lot of... I know that on IG, on social media, you'll see a lot of people start sharing these funky patterns coming out of Europe, sometimes Eastern European... You'll get the like little flower petals and all this other stuff. It's all TNG put together. You ever seen any of this stuff?
I've seen
fancier versions of, I guess, spine or herringbone.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it, but I've never actually like touched it.
Like, are they selling it here in North America?
Not. I'm not. I haven't seen it. Like, I've just seen the videos, just like you. Like,
yeah,
I've thought,
I've only seen it there. Yeah, I know. I thought
those are kind of cool, but. I don't know how they would be in like hallways and closets are always what I think about. I'm like, how the fuck is that?
I don't know how they would work here. And I don't know if I would like it as much as I like it when I see it on the clip.
Right.
Like I'm more of a traditionalist, right? Where I rather see maybe a border in the room, especially if there's actually some wall notch out. Like if each corner has a little notch out, then you could probably do a border around the whole thing and then have a threshold and then put the fill in the field, right?
Right.
And then go into the next room and maybe that next room has the same border around and then it has a herringbone pattern in it, right? I always like herringbone, which is beautiful.
And something to break up the monotony of a straight, you know, 10,000 square foot mansion or whatever like that.
Which gives purpose and it goes back to each room has its own identity, right?
Right, yeah.
And I remember, funny enough, Tim with RBC, he was doing a job and he's like, can I FaceTime you? And he was showing me and he was like, they removed the wall and even though... They did a ceiling treatment, a box, coffered kind of thing, and that was a dining area. But right next to it was the hallway that was connected to the next section of the house.
Okay.
He was suggesting that you should identify the flooring here for this space here because when you park the dining room table, you want to have this kind of identification of where the flooring for that room ends and where the hallway starts.
That makes sense.
And the client was more like, no, just run it through the whole thing. And then the flooring guy was just like, no, run it through the whole thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's the easier way to do it. But when you got to visualize this with the dining room table and all the chairs and whatever rug's going to be there, because there is going to be a rug there.
Yeah.
And it makes sense to have a border around this and then you're filling that in with the herringbone and then you're going straight along the hallway section.
Yeah.
And that's the route that they did go, which was good.
It's good. Yeah.
I think that's the correct way to do it.
It is. As long as it's... So this goes back to me and my scheduling. When changes like that would happen, and I'm like booked job to job to job to job.
You got
to
prepare for
it. I'm like, fuck, man. This is all fine, but like, let me know. Not on the job. Let me know like before.
No, you got to prepare for it.
Exactly.
How long does it normally take? Like if you got with the basement, 3,000, 4,000 square foot house, you're there for what, a week or so?
Yeah, a week or so.
That's what I figured, yeah.
It's 500 to 800 square feet per day, depending on what it is and the state of the place. And, you know, if I've got to also sand all the seams, cover all the floor, that eats some time too.
What do you mean sand all the seams?
The subfloor seams.
Oh.
Yeah.
Grind them down.
Sometimes that's not all done for me. So.
Yeah, because they used really cheap OSB or whatever it was, and then it swelled up.
Yeah.
And now you got to go in and sand everything down.
The little ridge.
Yeah. The little ridge, especially if you're going perpendicular to that, and now you can start seeing this teeter-totter.
I had one guy tell me, nah, just fucking go over top of it. And I brought the board over, and I said, listen, I think I know what you mean when I'm going this way across it. You won't notice it, but I still think you should do it. But what about on this one? And I went to the one where I'm going parallel to it, and the board rocked.
Of course. It was that bad.
Huh? I'm like, it's all of them. I'm like, you can't just spot do this because it'll take longer to just do it spot. And this, I'm like, let me just do the whole fucking thing.
You have to do all the joints.
I just do them all.
Even the butt joints, they're going to be up a little bit tiny. Yeah.
I got one builder likes to do it himself. And I'm like, do it all. Please do it all. He just sends one of his laborers to do it. And that's,
it makes sense.
And that's fine. I'm just like, it's fine. It's labor work. That's fine. Yeah. You don't need to pay me to do it.
Yeah.
But make sure he does it all. Don't just do it by the spot. Fucking did it by the spot. I ended up having to charge him because I'm like, this whole fucking area here, I'm thinking it's all good because you guys did it already. And I'm getting my boards in and I'm like, I can't fucking put this in. So then, you know,
What's he using, a flooring sander?
He's using a drum sander, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't have a drum sander on me at the time, so I'm just using my belt sander and I've already got glue down. And I'm like, for fuck's sake. So I'm trying to like scrape the glue up. Sand, you know, what I have to in this area. This was actually this month as well, but
I guess it's not worth planing it, eh? Because you're gonna hit the nails.
You hit the nails, yes. Yeah, so I go through and I set everything first.
But then all the new construction is probably gonna have screws. No, they would have quick drive
both.
Down.
Both. Yeah, sometimes both.
Yeah, because they'll just tack it with nails just to hold the board, and then the labor will come along and just start pam gunning it or drill driving it down.
I've seen it recently where the whole thing is done in nails, but they put the screws down extra as just extra to make sure it doesn't
bite it together.
It doesn't squeak. And then your button or you're pounding down the nails that haven't hit or that have hit something and bent or broke or whatever.
Bop, yeah.
And then there's the screws that it's usually labor that does it. You're right. So the ones that he thought were all the way down, but they're not all the fucking way down.
Right.
And they're stripped, so I gotta fucking hammer them down.
I know,
because it's eating up the sandpaper, which is fucking. Once it hits one, it's fucked. So,
and I guess technically for code, that head of the screw can't be too countersunk to avoid having to sand it down.
But at that point when they've done both, and it's only one or two that's in my way, I just fucking pound them all the way down.
Pound it, and I do the same thing. Okay. Like, even though the screw is like you're damaging the screw as a result of that.
I'm like, this one's useless to me.
this ain't going to cause any squeaking. It's done at that point, right?
Yeah.
What do you prefer using? I haven't seen a guy use cleats in a long time. You prefer using staples or cleats?
I use cleats.
Cleats, eh?
Yeah. Mostly engineered hardwood. 18-gauge cleats is what's recommended.
That's what they're recommending?
Yeah.
A lot of people are still using staples, no?
I don't know about a lot.
No, really? No. Cleats, eh?
Yeah.
It's good to hear those cleats.
Yeah. I like it more because it allows the floor to move where it wants to move.
I like it because the shaft of the cleat has those ribs on it and it's biting into the.
Well, no, that bites into the subfloor, but it has in the floor is smooth. So the floor can move just ever so slightly where it's just supposed to be able to move ever so slightly.
Yeah, but it moves with it, right?
Yeah.
But it holds the wood flooring plank down. I think better than the staple because the ridges on the staple are very fine. And I'm like, this looks like it could be working its way up, right?
They're very fine. The reason I switched from staples was actually because I was tired of them fucking one side going in and the other side punching.
Then you got to do that magic trick with a nail set of double nail set to try to, and it never goes in.
No. And then you're damaging a board by accident and you're fucking swearing at yourself.
Yeah. And then you're ripping it out, starting all over again. Yeah. Then you got to get pliers and you got to pull out both sides of the staple. Yeah. When a cleat was like, man, that went in perfect.
It's never the first board either. It's always right in the middle of the floor. So you're worried about damaging the boards beside.
You ever do site finish? No.
No, I'm a terrible painter and stainer, so that's not my forte. I stick to
but not a lot of clients are asking for it because as soon as you give them the price, they're like, what?
Yeah, because the price of the unfinished wood isn't that much less than the pre-finished, and then you're going to hire a professional, or I hope you hire a professional to come in and stain it.
Yeah,
And he's not working for free, so it ends up being way more money. But it's cool. Like, it's a nice look. Like, it's a nice, smooth, glass look.
But you're also shutting down the job site for a good week and a half to sometimes 2 weeks.
Yeah, because you can't have...
Nobody can be in there.
The fucking tile guy come in.
And you unannounced. Need humidity needs to be bang on perfect, too.
Right.
Because you need your all your liquids to be curing properly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's going to be problems at that point.
Yeah. So that's a little outside my knowledge. I know it happens, but I don't know how much it happens. A lot of engineered hardwood going in right now. Like, I would say probably at least 60% of what I put in is engineered. Probably 30% vinyl, 60% engineered, and like 5 laminate, 5 hardwood, solid hardwood, I would say.
You ever get into like clients asking for any kind of exotic woods, Mike? I mean, I remember back in the day, you'd do like jatoba and merbau and all the Brazilian stuff. Like,
I had a lot of that back when Lumber Liquidators was still here, because they sold a lot of that stuff.
Did they really? Yeah,
yeah, they sold. Yeah, but
that was around the same time when they were selling all the bamboo crap. Yeah. That was actually really bad shit.
Really bad shit. I hated that. Always did.
I couldn't stand that. I never did a single job of it.
Yeah.
I would see the samples. Clients would give it to me. I go, this looks like crap.
Yeah.
I can't even explain to you how bad this is going to look as a repetitive pattern on your floor.
And 5/16 thick, some of it.
But it's sustainable and it's good for the environment. I go, then shut the, like, it's not. It's crap. It's full of resins, man.
And it moves so much, like way more than any other flooring. It moved so much.
I feel bad for everybody who actually installed it then, because
I imagine it's not in anymore.
They probably ripped it all out.
It's probably all ripped out by now, because that was my 10 years ago was like, I would say 25% of everything I did was bamboo.
How sustainable is that for the environment? It's all, you're ripping all this shit out and it's in the landfill now.
I just always said it was glue and grass. That's basically what it was. So I never understood it. But it was the trend at the time for a couple of years.
I hated it when I first saw it. 100%. I still hate it to this day.
Even the good stuff that you get 5/8, 3/4, it was so heavy. So fucking heavy.
Like, and it was hard on your tools too, the saw. Yeah.
Sparks.
Right? Yeah, it would be sparks.
Yeah. The smell was bad. I never liked the smell either.
I never liked that.
Splinters. The splinters were really bad.
I didn't like the pattern. I didn't like anything. And then they tried to get cool and they were going the vertical pattern. So then you wouldn't get the repetitive on the horizontal, on the flat.
Yeah.
I was like, this is shit product, man.
I'm so glad bamboo is not a thing anymore. Like, I haven't seen bamboo in 10 years, I don't think.
But you got to wonder all the houses that were installed and left like that, right? Yeah. And then they're trying to stain, and they're trying to sand it, site finish. But you can't finish it.
I don't even think you can, because I think it's too hard to, it's just, like you said, it's
to
resin.
Sand down? Right? It's all full of resin. That's the problem with it.
Yeah. And you never get the look again, because it's beaten up. It's half of it was always beaten up. That was the look.
It was around the same time that, I guess, Torley's, whatever, was trying to push the whole cork.
Yeah.
I was never a fan of cork either.
I've done one cork floor in my entire career.
Basement for a cork.
one basement. That's all I ever did.
The client was begging for it. Yeah. He wanted it so badly, and we did it 2x4. One by two sheets.
Oh, same stuff. Yeah.
Glue down.
Oh, this wasn't glue. That was click. But
I hated it, man.
I didn't hate it. It was fine. It didn't bother me at all. I just didn't like the look of it.
I hated it.
Didn't like the look of it at all.
It was what they were adamant about. They got it, and I was like, we installed it, and I was like, ugh.
It just looked like a literal corkboard. Like, it was just that, it was that color. And it was, I was like, why? Like, what is this? This looks like what you put underneath the next floor. Yep. Like,
then let's put the finished floor on
exactly.
top.
Exactly.
I know.
But they paid for it. They paid me to put it in.
Clients were big on using it in kitchens because of the cushion factor of it. So then you're walking, and I was like, yeah, but it looks like shit.
Yeah, drop your knife a couple times, see what happens.
Oh, yeah, you're going to damage it. I guarantee you. We had to seal it too.
Oh, yeah.
I remember we had to put 3 coats of sealer on it.
Ouch.
On the version that, I know. And then we had to, you almost sealing it, so like the lamb's cloth or whatever was the lamb's room thing. Like you were doing it as if you were doing a site finish flooring.
Okay.
And it was just like, this is just irritating. I'd be like,
that's not for me. You're going to have to hire another guy for that.
No, I was just like, it was the first time I did it, the last time I ever did it. And I wasn't a fan of it. And it was expensive product too. I think we're talking, it had to probably 15 a square.
What? No way.
All said and done, when you install the material and the finishing on it.
I thought you meant just to buy it.
No, it was a package deal, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like the cost for us, because I mean, what's the going rate now to install hardwood? If you're going 5-inch plank, what is it per square?
I charge $3 a square foot, including
the roof. So we were charging, I can't remember, it was probably around the same amount of money, and then the actual product itself, and then the sealer that had to go down 3 coats over 3 different days.
Wow.
And I was like,
yeah, that's all man hours.
It's all man hours.
Yeah.
And then the whole site was all shut down the whole time that we were doing it. Wow. And it was like, it was going into an open area. It was being butt up against a rubber floor for the gym area. And then it was going into, we converted the cold room in the front of the house into his new mechanical room, but he didn't want doors on it.
Oh.
So we opened it up. So then that flooring had to go into that. We had to carve that the cork around the sump pump and make it nice and clean. Yeah. And I was like, then there was an access panel for the backflow. And I was like going, yeah, this is a little bit of a challenge here. He loved it. He was like, this looks amazing. It's beautiful flooring. I love it. It's great. It's nice and soft and cushiony. It's warm. And I was like, yeah, it has nothing to do with the 1-inch foam underneath and the plywood separating you from the concrete. It's got everything to do with the cork floor.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you ready to take your construction business to the next level? Consider joining the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance Program, TAP, where skilled professionals connect, collaborate, and grow together. Our network is built on mutual respect and the shared goal of always building better. As a member, you'll have access to a wealth of resources designed to streamline your operations and attract more clients. From a 30-minute assessment call with myself to expert consultations in business, finance, and health, we've got you covered. Your business information will be featured at www.theconstructionlife.com, complete with certifications, logos, and geo-targeting to help you reach the right audience. Promote your business with a 30-second advert across TCL social channels and our popular podcasts. Get exclusive access to TCL networking events and roundtable shows where you can connect with other tradespeople and general contractors, plus enjoy TCL merchandise, member-exclusive content, and a spot in the TAP directory online. We're going to promote you guys to homeowners across Facebook groups. Don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your business. Become a member of the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program today and start reaping the benefits. Visit us at www.theconstructionlife.com for more details, or DM us through any of the social platforms, or text me directly at 416-433-5737 to learn more, and consider being a TAP member today. He loved it. It's all that mattered.
At the end of the day, as long as the customer's happy, they pay, and it's all.
We did it. It was a good job. It was great.
You did the best you can. I that's all I tell myself. As long as I did the best I could on this, even if I don't like it. I actually hate when customers ask me if I like the flooring.
Oh, I can't stand that.
I don't like that, because I'm like, what if I don't? I'm not a good liar. I'm a terrible liar, actually. I just don't do it.
I would tell them the truth. I would just tell them the truth.
I usually say I talk about the quality or something like that instead.
Tell them the truth. Tell them your shaker kitchen looks like shit.
Yeah.
Tell them that Chantilly lace looks like shit.
Fucking Scott hates Chantilly lace. And Scott Fitch.
Yeah.
He's been on the show.
Yeah, but he probably is probably painting Chantilly lace right now as we speak.
Yeah.
He's probably stirring a can of it right now.
I hope he is.
I bet you any money. And even when he listens to this, he's going to be doing the exact same thing again. Another can of
Chantilly. That's your clip. That's your clip right here. We're talking about Scott Fitch, Chantilly lace.
I just don't. I don't know. I don't like those clients. I don't like those clients that are like that. But that's what they want. They want that because they want to sell it.
Yeah.
They don't want that because they want to enjoy it. Right?
Are they though? Like the custom builds and stuff like that's still all going into the custom builds.
It is, but I even think it's either divorce is coming or they're selling it, right? One or the other.
What a dark way to look at that.
It's reality, isn't it?
It's fair.
You know, it's reality.
Child of three of them. So.
Well, the divorce rates and everything like that, and the house has got to get sold, and they want it to be an easy sale, and Chantilly lace is going to be an easy sale.
Yeah.
Matches her new wedding gown.
I don't know. Look like the gram. Make it look like HGTV.
It's all crap, man. What else you want to share before we do the 12 questions here, Scott?
Holy shit, are we already there? All right.
Huh? Yeah, said, we're, oh, sure, we're almost there. We're almost there. No, I'm just, I wanted to, I'm trying to figure, oh, you know what I wanted to ask you?
What's that?
Why the fuck did people start putting hardwood on the walls as an accent wall?
I don't know. I don't
know.
What
the fuck is that?
I worry about the structurally, how, because it's heavy. Like, I wonder how that's going to go.
Well, I'm hoping they just didn't put it on drywall. I'm hoping that they skinned the wall first with ply, a bare minimum of a half-inch ply, and then stapled that flooring on there.
I don't think
there.
They do.
But they didn't. I think that they would have just hoped and prayed the studs.
Or like
Portuguese luck.
Exactly.
I know. They would have just PL'd it, tapped them each in, and then like, hey babe, looks great. Hey, babe, looks wonderful. No, it looks like you guys are on the hardwood on the wall. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like an accent wall.
I've seen it look cool, though, on the ceiling in the great room of one big house I did. He did the whole peak in the same flooring. And it was like four rows down the middle.
Interesting.
Looks super cool.
Separated, though, with the walls, right?
The walls, the drywall was up to it. And then just in the peaks.
I can see that. Because that's you start thinking about cottage and when you're putting pine boards on there.
So what he did was the peak started a full peak, but then he, I guess, figured out the angle on the, it was like 40 feet of it. So he wanted me to do it, but I don't do heights.
Did he put a base apply to install all of it?
I wasn't there for the install.
He hit the rafters then at that point.
Yeah. I wasn't there for the install of that, but this guy was good. Like, he was his own builder, his own GC, but
yeah, I've done a couple houses for him. Bottom there and just worked your way up all the way, because you're going perpendicular to the rafters, no?
No, he only did the peak. Like, he made the peak flat with wood.
Oh, he just did the very top ceiling.
And it was all drywall up to that. It actually looked really cool.
Yeah, that would work.
He wanted me to do it, but yeah, I don't do heights. I stay on the floor. I know,
but people are trying to do, like, ideas on the walls, and they'll try to put on an angle, or they'll do a pattern.
Yeah.
Looks like shit.
This way over here and this way over here.
Yeah.
And
it's like it looks like shit. I'm sorry, but it looks like shit. But everyone's just trying to do something different.
No.
I don't know. We'll see in 10 years if it's still going to be white oak. America's all white oak, too.
Yeah, but white oak is timeless. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think there will be some other stuff mixed in. But
it's nice. I agree with you. wall_2_wall_flooring. Contact at wall2wallflooring.ca, www.wall2wallflooring.ca, 705-791-9306. You're servicing what? Simcoe, Muskoka?
Simcoe, Gravenhurst, Muskoka. Yeah.
Up there. There's a few guys up there now. You got Greg from Generation. He's up there. Generation Construction. Who else is up there? Scott. Yeah, Scott up there too? Finch?
Scott Fitch is out of Barrie. I'm technically out of Barrie myself, but
yeah, okay.
That's just because that's the bigger population around.
Well, Barrie's up there. John McNeil. McNeil Construction's up there.
McNeil, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few guys. There's a lot of guys up there, man.
A lot of guys up there, yeah.
Ready for this?
Yeah, for sure.
A person you would trade places with for a day.
Oh, these are different than the ones you sent me.
I thought I sent you these ones.
Oh, you sent me older ones, but that's okay. Let's do these ones. They'll be better.
We're in a LGBT transitional period here regarding questions.
Fuck, I like that position of power one that I just heard on the way up here. Somebody in a position of power, Elon Musk or
well, yeah, or who Trump. Said that?
Your 700 episode.
Oh, Brian said that.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm not going to pick that, but let's just say the Christian God. I'd switch just for a day, just to see, first of all, if I'm real. Second of all, because if I'm real, I can do a lot of shit. So
Bruce Almighty. Guilty pleasure. What's your guilty pleasure?
I love Friends. Fuck, that show is so good.
You grew up on it?
Grew up on it.
I never got into it, dude.
No?
I never got into it.
So funny.
I found all the characters annoying to me.
That's fair. I find Ross annoying now, but, I still watch it.
I've never seen a single episode.
Pop punk, too. I find pop punk to be somewhat good. I'm a death metal head, like a metal fan, but, I still like Green Day. Blink-182 and stuff like that. So,
I got some good music, man. Yeah. What is your least favorite tool?
Multi-tool. It's so loud in the closet. You're undercutting the door.
DeWalt, it's very loud.
I'm all red.
You're all red. You're all red.
Yeah.
What do you use for a table saw then?
Milwaukee.
Battery one.
Battery.
Job site one.
Yeah.
Their miter saw looks weird. Looks like a toy.
The 12-inch is super expensive. I have it. it broke within the first, I would say, 6 hours of work.
What broke?
The brake on it, the blade brake. So it
would go. How and why would that?
So I had to bring it in. It was for warranty, obviously. It was only 6 hours of use on it. So
it was brand new.
Brand new, yeah. So I have a 7 1/4 as well that I use.
Most flooring guys use that size.
Yeah.
Because you don't need the height, the fence.
No. Well, I do baseboard too. So it's nice to have that for the taller base.
Biggest risk you ever took?
I guess starting out in my own company. That was pretty risky. I went to school for a teacher, so.
I was just realizing, like, you're obviously an 80s kid, eh?
Born 86.
Yeah, with the logo. Yeah. Makes me want to watch my advice. Best compliment you ever got?
Honestly, any builder that uses me the second time, which is.
That's a compliment.
Has been all of them.
Of course. Like,
I show up on time, which shouldn't be.
An issue?
Something I even bring up. That shouldn't be something I have to bring up, but people don't show up. Stay until the job's done. Learned that early on from my brother-in-law, bitching on the job site in the pit of mud. And he's like, you know what, Scott? You know what's not going to help me? You fucking bitching. So I'm like, oh, you know what?
It's true. He's not wrong.
So I tell myself that all the time. Quit bitching. Just fucking do the job. It sucks today, but it's going to be fine tomorrow. But yeah, that's a great compliment, is to be reused. Because there's a lot of guys out there. And it's not, I don't need a license for this. So
you need a driver's license.
Well, yeah. True enough.
What's your favorite beverage?
Beer.
What were you drinking there? Monster?
It's Monster. Yeah.
What flavor is that? It's pink.
Ultra peach. It just tastes like fuzzy peach.
Yeah. I've never had a Monster. I'm not into the energy drinks, man. Sorry, beer. Which one?
I like Michelob Ultra. I can drink 24 of them and it doesn't affect me too much.
Like water, no? Yeah. What's the alcohol content on that?
I think it's 4.
I'm a Guinness guy myself, man.
I like Guinness.
I can't drink 24 of those, man.
No, you can't drink. It's a meal.
And a steak in a bottle, man. That's how I look at it. What never fails to make you laugh?
Never fail. Yeah, people falling down for some reason. Old, young, my age, whatever.
As long as they get back up.
Well, you don't want a guy to get hurt.
No, exactly.
I try to not.
A little waddle on the way out. Yeah. Okay,
tripping over your own feet. Like,
yeah.
Like the kind of one where they hope nobody saw and they look around.
Yep.
And you're like, oh no, I saw that. But I'm not going to ruin your day on it, but I fucking saw it.
Worst piece of advice you ever got?
Fuck. Worst piece of advice I ever got? I don't know. I get pretty good advice. I got a pretty solid group of family and friends. And
steered you the wrong way.
I'm sure they have, but
no, you don't have to.
You know what? I had friends that wanted to go and steal like a lawn gnome or something like that, and I was with them for that, and I should never have gone with them.
Did you?
I went with them. They didn't get it. The fucking house had lights on, but I went. I was still with them. That was bad advice.
Just one? Did they have a bunch on the lawn?
I don't even know if it was a lawn gnome, to be honest. It was something that was outside of someone's house. Stealing's dumb. They wanted to do it. I went with them. That was dumb.
The last 4 questions are from the old list, so you'll get this. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Would I like to attempt one day?
Yeah.
Fucking Christian God again. That would be sweet.
Really? That's a profession? I didn't realize it was a profession.
Hey, who knows? Maybe that guy gets demoted or
hazard pay?
A new guy.
Overtime. What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck, of course. So versatile.
What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
You know what? I don't mind my F-150 is not that bad. So it gets me where I got to go.
Good.
Mileage is good.
I saw a sweet Raptor on the way here.
Yeah.
Saw a really aggressive looking Raptor. I don't know if it couldn't have been factory.
I don't think the mileage would be as good on a Raptor as I like the mileage.
What is it, 1 gallon per? It just looks aggressive. It's nice. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
It's your day. Your day to be God.
Clock in.
Sorry, I'm not a religious guy, but clock in. Yeah, clock in. That'd be great.
Simple as that. Scott, thanks so much, man, for making the time and jumping on the show, man. Appreciate you sharing the knowledge, man.
No, it's great. That went by in a breeze. That was...
Were you expecting it was going to take a long time? Or you didn't come across nervous, no? You seemed like you were fine.
I was fucking nervous as balls. I still kind of am, so...
There's nothing. We're just shooting the shit, man. We're just shooting the shit. I have some alcohol here if you want.
You know what's funny is I didn't even touch on anything I thought I was going to touch on. So
like what?
You're always talking about corruption stuff and stuff like that. I'm like, I got stories about that. My brother-in-law teaching me
corruption, construction,
corruption and construction. Yeah, I know you talk a lot.
They're
about
synonymous
it,
those words, man. Yeah, I get it.
But even strictly in the flooring thing.
Is bad in the flooring industry?
I don't know how bad it is, but I don't like
what, cutthroat?
It's cutthroat.
You know, everybody trying to underbid on pennies?
Underbid, people getting paid off, and, you know.
Really, yeah? So the little jokes that I made at the beginning just about the inspector, that shit's all reality. I know it is, man.
I know, it's so.
I'm sure some big guy's going to probably go, hey, you, Manny, I got a word with you.
Yeah. That's okay. You're God for the day, right?
What else did you want to touch upon?
Oh, man.
There's corruption construction. We know there is. Yeah, there is. You just got to navigate those fucking waters, man.
Yeah, but when you're not trying to be that guy, it's hard. It's hard to get those jobs, right? And you're like, fuck, like, I know I didn't do anything wrong, but so I'm not getting the jobs now because someone else got paid, to get that job. And I was like, fuck, that sucks.
So you just got to hope that karma kind of kicks in and maybe you being a good will lead to good.
Hey, I'm never that slow. So it's...
If you're doing a good job, people are going to notice and they're going to call and they're going to hire you. And the guys who are paying off are probably going to continue to be lazy and lazy and they're going to mess up and they're like, I can't hire you again. I got to hire somebody else who's going to do a good
job. They'll be found out maybe and
that's
fired.
I think this is inevitable, right? I think if you keep on paying... If you're constantly buying envelopes at Staples, I think you're going to get found out one day.
Fuck, they're going to run out of envelopes one day.
Nah, they'll never run out of envelopes.
No, you don't think so?
No. They need plenty of them at Parliament Hill. They need all kinds for all the parties. They need them for big builders. They need them for unions. They just need them. Yeah. You got to hide stuff. You can't see through them. It's not like a check and you're looking through the light or whatever.
Right.
It's all pure cash at that point, right? It's just...
Cash for as long as we have cash anyway, right?
There's lots of construction. That's another word that's synonymous with construction is cash, right? It's just corruption, construction, cash. It's all one big happy tree.
It's a good tree.
And you just got to navigate that fucking
I love
shit.
My job, man. I fucking love my job. I'd never do anything else. I was supposed to be a teacher. I'll do this.
What level of teaching would you like elementary, high school?
Elementary, yeah.
Really? Huh?
I like that sweet spot grade 4 to 6 where the kids are getting a sense of humor, but they still think the teacher's God. Like that was where I wanted to be.
A raised word or something like that.
Exactly.
Like,
you could joke with them though. They weren't so sensitive.
It's true. I remember those days. I know. Yeah. Holy cow.
That would have been cool. But
that tall person's upset at us.
Flooring took off right at the same time, and I was at a fork, so I just had to pick one. Right. So, but I did the right thing.
I've always said, man, you get into trades, you're going to be a teacher, regardless how you look at it.
Yeah, 100%.
Whether you're going to be a good or a bad or a corrupt one. That's the difference back to the teacher and media class.
Yeah.
So technically we did touch upon a lot of corruption.
We did,
man.
Yeah, we did. That's true. We did. It did come up for sure.
Scott, I really appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Appreciate it.
Good chat with you and good to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
That's it. We're out of here.